Okay, let's unpack this. Thinking about goals that feel, really far off, like saving for something you can't even touch until you're 59 and a half you, it can definitely feel a little abstract, maybe even overwhelming, especially when you're just starting out. You send us some material that tackles this exact feeling head-on, and it dives into a powerful tool, one that can make that distant future feel a lot more achievable, maybe even sooner than you think. So today, this deep dive is all about the mighty Roth IRA. We're going to explore how this account can be, well, a major shortcut on the path to building significant wealth, primarily through its incredible tax efficiency. Our mission really is to unpack the core concepts: saving, investing, and crucially, tax efficiency, and show you how putting them together, especially early on in a Roth IRA, can lead to some truly surprising results. Get ready for some aha moments because, frankly, digging into the numbers on this one was pretty eye-opening for me too. So the material you shared kicks off by acknowledging that feeling, looking way out to 59 and a half and thinking, is this even worth it right now?
Right, it's a long way off.
It is. But it quickly makes the case that, yes, saving and investing consistently over long periods is fundamental. It's the bedrock of building wealth.
Absolutely. Can't skip those parts.
And, it's easy to focus just on the saving and investing bits, and those are absolutely non-negotiable. But what's highlighted here as a crucial third key is tax efficiency.
Often overlooked.
Totally. And this isn't just a minor tweak. It's emphasized that tax efficiency can quietly add tens of thousands of dollars, sometimes even more, to your future wealth, simply by letting you keep more of what you earn and what your investments earn.
That's the power of compounding without the tax drag.
Exactly. And when we talk about tax-efficient tools, especially for someone starting out with decades ahead of them, the Roth IRA is presented as, like, right at the top of the list.
One of the best, yeah.
The lessons here are pretty simple, but incredibly powerful. Save consistently, invest wisely, and crucially, use tax efficiency to keep more of the wealth you build.
And that's where the Roth IRA really shines, offering that third lever, that tax efficiency, in a very straightforward way. At its core, a Roth IRA is, well, one of the simplest yet most effective tools for long-term wealth building, specifically because of those tax advantages.
So how does it actually work mechanically?
Okay, so here's the breakdown. You contribute money you've already paid income tax on. These are after-tax dollars. That's the key difference upfront compared to, say, a traditional IRA.
Got it. Tax now.
Right. Then the investments you hold inside that Roth account, they grow entirely tax-free. You won't owe annual taxes on dividends or capital gains while the money is sitting in there compounding.
Okay, no tax drag year to year.
Exactly. And finally, the real magic happens in retirement. When you make qualified withdrawals, so usually after age 59 and a half, and having the account open for 5 years, both your original contributions and all those years of investment earnings come out 100% tax-free.
Wow, okay. That tax-free piece, both the gross and the withdrawal, that's what makes it such a game changer, isn't
It
it?
really is.
So building on that, let's maybe list out the key benefits highlighted. First, obviously that tax-free growth. It means every single penny your investments earn compounds for you, not the IRS. No annual drag chipping away at your progress.
Which makes a huge difference over decades.
Huge. And then keeping everything you've built when you access it in retirement, not having to mentally slice off a piece for taxes, that's massive peace of mind.
Definitely.
Another benefit mentioned is that, unlike traditional IRAs, there are generally no required minimum distributions, or RMDs, during your lifetime with a Roth IRA. That gives you more control over your money later on.
More flexibility in retirement, yeah.
Plus, and this is a point that offers some, comfort, you have flexibility earlier too, you can actually withdraw your original contributions at any time for any reason, tax and penalty free.
That's a big one for younger savers.
It is. Of course, the goal is to leave it invested and let it grow. But knowing that safety net is there, that's a big deal if life throws you a curveball.
Understanding the rules is definitely necessary, though. So for 2025, the contribution limit is up to $7,000 a year to a Roth IRA, or $8,000 if you're age 50 or older. That's the catch-up contribution.
Okay, 7K or E-Ducat.
Yeah. The main requirement is that you must have earned income, like from a job or self-employment, that's at least equal to whatever amount you contribute in that year. You can't just contribute unearned money.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Earned income is key. What about income limits? I know those trip people up.
Right. There are income limits for making those direct contributions. In 2025, if you're filing single, your modified adjusted gross income, or MAGI, needs to be below $161,000.
Right.
Though the ability to contribute the full amount starts phasing out above $146,000.
Okay, so there's a phase out range.
Exactly. And if you're married filing jointly, the MGI limit is below $240,000, with that phase out starting above $230,000. If your income is higher than those upper limits, you generally can't contribute directly to a Roth IRA.
Ah, okay. So what happens then? Is that door closed?
Not necessarily. There's a way to access the Roth even if your income is higher. It's a strategy often called the backdoor Roth IRA.
The backdoor Roth. Heard of that? Sounds a bit complex.
It can seem that way, but basically it involves contributing non-deductible funds to a traditional IRA. Anyone with earned income can do that, regardless of income, and then promptly converting those funds to a Roth IRA. It's sometimes called a good problem to have, earning too much for direct contribution.
Right, it's a good problem.
It is worth noting, though, that if you have existing pre-tax money in other traditional IRAs, SEP IRAs, or simple IRAs, it can complicate the conversion process. There's something called the pro rata rule that might make part of the conversion taxable.
Okay. So existing traditional IRA balances matter.
They do. And this is actually a subtle reason why starting with a Roth early, maybe when your income is lower and you don't have those other pre-tax IRA balances yet, can keep that backdoor Roth option cleaner and simpler for you down the road if your income does rise above the limits.
That makes perfect sense. Get the tax advantage locked in while it's easy and keep future options open. And this naturally leads us to a core comparison. How does a Roth IRA stack up against just investing in a regular taxable brokerage account?
That's a really important comparison.
So think about a standard taxable account. Your investments grow, sure, but that growth isn't tax-free along the way, right?
Yep, you get hit with taxes.
You'll pay taxes annually on things like dividends, interest, maybe capital gains distributions from funds. And then you face capital gains tax again when you eventually sell investments that have gone up in value.
So taxes can chip away at returns year after year and then take another bite when you sell.
Exactly. Now contrast that with a Roth IRA. As we just covered, the growth inside the account is tax-free year after year, no tax bill on dividends or gains.
That's the first shield.
Right. And then when you take qualified withdrawals in retirement, it's all tax-free, your contributions and all those accumulated earnings.
The second, bigger shield.
So you avoid that annual tax drag, and you avoid the final tax hit when you access the money later. It's like a double layer of tax protection on your investment earnings within the account.
And if we connect this to the bigger picture, why is the Roth IRA particularly advantageous for younger investors or those early in their careers?
Good question. What's the thinking there?
It comes back to a couple of key points we touched on. First, many people are in lower income tax brackets early in their careers.
Right, likely earning less than they will later.
Precisely. So paying that income tax on their contributions now, when their tax rate is relatively low, is often much more efficient than deferring the tax in a traditional account and potentially paying a much higher tax rate decades from now in retirement when they might be in a higher bracket.
Okay, so pay tax now at a potentially lower rate.
Exactly. Tax diversification is part of it too.
Yeah.
And what's really fascinating here is the sheer power of time combined with that tax-free growth. The earlier you start, the more decades your money has to compound completely untouched by annual taxes.
That compounding effect is huge.
It's incredible. The impact over 30, 40, even 50 years is just massive. It's been observed that for many younger investors, the cumulative tax savings from using a Roth over their lifetime can actually end up being more than the total amount they contributed.
Wait, the tax savings alone exceed the contributions.
Potentially, yes, over a very long time horizon with decent growth. It's a significant return just from being tax efficient.
Wow.
Also, that flexibility point we mentioned is really important for younger people navigating, uncertain career paths or life events. Knowing you can tap your contributions, not the earnings, but the contributions if a real emergency arises, provides a lot of comfort.
Yeah, less fear of locking money away completely.
Right. And there's a powerful observation mentioned about parents or grandparents helping out. Gifting funds specifically for a Roth contribution, assuming the child has some earned income of their own, is highlighted as one of the most impactful financial gifts you can give.
Why specifically that?
Because it leverages those decades and decades of tax-free compounding right from the earliest possible point. It's like giving the gift of time and tax efficiency.
Okay, let's get into the numbers, because seeing them laid out really drives this home. There's a compelling example in the material comparing investing in a Roth versus a standard taxable account.
Yeah, the side-by-side is useful.
The scenario is simple, very achievable, saving just $100 a month, consistently, for 35 years, and it assumes a 10.4% average annual return, which is, you know, in the ballpark of the historical average for something like an S&P 500 index fund.
Okay, $100 a month, 35 years, 10.4% return.
Right. After those 35 years, the total cash invested out of pocket is $72,554. Now, here's where it gets really interesting. The projected extra value in the Roth IRA account, compared to doing the exact same thing in a standard taxable brokerage account, is estimated at a staggering $79,016.
Wow, almost $80,000 more just from using the Roth.
Exactly, just from the tax treatment difference.
That's huge on a 72K investment.
It really is. Now, it's worth noting that if you just glanced at a chart showing the growth lines over time, the Roth and the taxable accounts might look pretty similar for many years.
Because the saving and investing is the main engine, right?
Precisely. Fundamentally, consistently saving and investing is the biggest driver of wealth accumulation. That $72,000 plus invested is doing most of the heavy lifting in both accounts.
But the tax difference isn't trivial.
Not at all. The differences, especially that tax difference, they quietly add up and become massive over a long time horizon. The Roth pulls slightly ahead earlier on because it avoids that annual tax drag on dividends or any capital gains distributions.
Okay, a small edge year to year.
A small edge, yeah. But the major difference, that nearly $80,000 advantage in the example, shows up dramatically at the 35-year mark. And why?
The tax bill at the end for the taxable account?
Exactly. Because in this example, the taxable account incurs a large capital gains tax hit when the assets are hypothetically sold in retirement to be used. Whereas the Roth IRA avoids this tax entirely because, again, qualified withdrawals are 100% tax-free.
So the final withdrawal is where the biggest chunk of the difference shows up in that scenario.
Right. And it's also pointed out that this advantage, while huge in this S&P 500-style example, would likely be even larger if you were investing in things that generate more annual taxable income, like bonds or high-dividend stocks, within that taxable account.
Because they'd create more tax drag each year. Makes sense. What's fascinating here, really, and maybe the bigger lesson, is that tax efficiency truly acts as a powerful multiplier for your wealth.
A multiplier. I like that framing.
Yeah, it's often less visible than, say, your investment returns or how much you contribute each month, but it's constantly working behind the scenes, amplifying the results of your saving and investing efforts.
Silently boosting things.
Exactly. There's a relatable anecdote mentioned about how this lesson can become very real. Like, someone might buy treasury bills thinking they're simple and safe, but then they get their tax statement and discover, oh, the interest is taxed as ordinary income. And for higher earners, there might be that additional 3.8% net investment income tax, the NIIT, on top.
Ah, so even safe investments have tax implications in a taxable account.
They absolutely do. Suddenly, that tax drag becomes very tangible, very real.
Okay.
And that's exactly what the Roth IRA helps you avoid. No NIT applies within the Roth. No ordinary income tax on the earnings generated inside the account. And most importantly, no capital gains tax ever on qualified withdrawals in retirement.
It shields you from all of that.
Pretty much all of it, yeah. It's this quiet, consistent avoidance of taxes that helps you keep so much more of the wealth you build over the long haul.
So putting this powerful tool to work sounds pretty compelling.
Right.
The good news is getting started is actually fairly straightforward. The material lays out some simple, actionable steps.
Which is great. Keep it simple.
First step, open a Roth IRA. Places like Vanguard, Fidelity, Schwab, those big, low-cost brokerage firms are often recommended as good options. Easy to do online, usually.
Mm-hmm. Plenty of good choices.
Second, automate your contributions. Even starting with just $100 a month, like in that example we talked about, is a fantastic start. Setting it up so it comes out of your bank account automatically each month really ensures you stay consistent. Pay yourself first.
Right. Set it and forget it. Crucial.
Third, once the money is in there, you need to invest it for growth. Broad market, low-cost index funds are frequently suggested. They're simple, diversified, and really effective, especially inside a tax advantage wrapper like a Roth, where you don't worry about tax implications of fund distributions.
Keep it simple, keep costs low. Good advice.
And looping back to that earlier point, if you're a parent or grandparent listening, helping a young person who has some earned income make a Roth contribution is highlighted again as an incredibly impactful financial gift. It just gives them that massive head start on decades of tax-free growth.
Such a powerful gift.
And just to quickly touch on a couple of common questions, those FAQs that often come up and cause confusion. Yes, you can withdraw your original contributions early if you face a true financial emergency without tax or penalty.
Good to know that escape hatch exists.
Yes, you can potentially use that backdoor Roth strategy we mentioned if your income rises above the direct contribution limit later on.
So high income doesn't necessarily lock you out forever.
Right. And yes, you absolutely can contribute to both a Roth IRA and a workplace retirement plan like a 401k or 403b in the same year, assuming you meet the respective eligibility rules. They aren't mutually exclusive.
Good clarification. People often wonder about that.
So to kind of sum it all up, the core takeaways seem pretty clear. Consistent saving and investing, absolutely fundamental to the engine. But tax efficiency, particularly using a Roth IRA early on, adds immense extra value.
It's the booster rocket.
Yeah, good analogy.
Yeah.
That example showing potentially nearly $80,000 in projected extra value over 35 years compared to a taxable account really makes the case, doesn't it?
It's hard to ignore numbers like that.
And the impact of starting early, giving your money all those decades for tax-free compounding to work its magic, it's just enormous. It really reinforces why helping young people get started, if possible, is seen as such a powerful financial gift.
Time is the most valuable asset there.
Totally. The reflection often shared is something like, if you could tell your younger self one thing about money, it would be, start the Roth IRA early. You'll thank yourself later.
Sound advice. And this really raises an important final question for you, the listener, to consider. Building on this powerful multiplier effect of tax efficiency we've discussed, what might tax efficiency look like across your entire financial picture? Not just thinking about this one account, the Roth IRA, but stepping back. How could minimizing tax drag, whether it's through account types, investment location, or other strategies, potentially impact other areas of your long-term financial journey? How can you leverage the same principle, this quiet multiplier, to help you keep more of what you work so hard to build over time?